Salt and the fool. It might seem, those might seem quite far apart, but I'm going to give you a little bit to start with. I'm going to give you a little lesson in Greek, if I may, and this lecture will be much more meaningful to you. I want you to learn the word in the Greek, moraino, spelled M-O-R-A-I-N-O. The definition of moraino is to be insipid, to become insipid, and to better understand that insipid being an English word that we don't use all that often, so at the risk of somebody thinking I'm talking down to them, I'm going to define it also in English. Insipid is a term that many times a cook would use, or sometimes perhaps even a wife, because to become insipid or to act insipidly is to be tasteless, flavorless, dull, and lifeless. Now, some of your wives may have said you've been acting insipidly, ladies, lately. So if they say that, it's not exactly a real good compliment, all right? Lost its flavor. And naturally, you know, I'm talking about when our Christ would say, if salt has lost its savor, this is this word, morano, in the Greek. But it's a very interesting word. It comes from the prime word, moros, M-O-R-O-S in the Greek. Moros, which means, more means blockhead in modern English, okay? It means to be stupid. But it has a far deeper meaning in the Greek that none of you will probably, most likely, not have the tools to take it this far, so I'm going to take you just a little further. Moros means to, in the spiritual sense, not care anything nor believe a religious belief of any kind, meaning there's no God. All right. Now, when Christ told you to call no man fool, this was the word that was used, moros, which means don't call any man absolutely devoid of any chance whatsoever of ever believing in God. That's the word. There's many other words translated fool, but that particular one is the one that he intended at that time. So we see that the word stupid and savor or flavor are from the same prime root in the Greek. And you're going to better now be able to understand this lecture in understanding what our Lord was saying, because always you take the natural thing that he is talking about and then apply that as a parable or a figure of speech or an idiom to human beings at which he was addressing. So, with that having been said, naturally he told the disciples, you're the salt of the earth. There was a special meaning in that, and we'll get to that a little later in the lecture. But all man's wisdom is foolishness to God. That is to say, wisdom of this world. Nice little calm sayings like, do your brother before he does you. That's of the world, you know. And all these other things that you pick up from men's ways, not God's, as you live in this world. So, if you would, let's open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And the word foolishness, again, is from the word moraino in the Greek, so that you understand where we're coming from here, flavorless. And, to be absolutely lifeless, and in a sense that applies very much to one that does not have eternal life, there's a time coming you're going to be lifeless as well. Let's pick it up, if we may, with verse 18, chapter 1, the book of 1 Corinthians. Paul teaching. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. It's like our word moron comes from moreno, the Greek word we just stated. Did you call somebody a moron? That's what you're calling them, okay? Foolishness. But unto us, which are saved, it is the power of God. I must say that in this courtroom, it was obvious that God's power was certainly in the favor of those that love Him. And you could see that many of the things were foreign to those that were not well-founded. But we taught them. Okay, they knew when we left. Okay, 19. For it is written. Written where? In God's Word. It is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. In other words, people that are exceedingly wise in the ways of this world kind of make fools out of themselves at times. One of the first things that you can detect is they leave off from common sense. And anytime you leave off common sense, you're leaving off the simplicity of God's wisdom, and that is usually contrary to nature. So He will bring those people to a point whereby they will realize that their wisdom, there's only one thing that will bring peace of mind. Money won't do it. Only God's Word will do that, to have an understanding. And then when His blessings come on you, hey, the money pours, all right? And some might say, well, when does mine start? Well, you're right. You can handle what you have right now is what He feels you can handle, all right? But things can get a lot better, all right? He gives us a charge, and we're to take care of that. Verse 20. Where is the wise? That's a question. Where do you find them? Where is the scribe? Where is the scholar that we can trust to find that is written? Where is the disputer of this world? Who's going to stand the gap and say these world ways are wrong? Who's the prince of this world? Satan. Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? He certainly has. You'll remember in Romans chapter 1, verse 22, in a lecture not long ago, he said, because they leave the wisdom of God, they become foolish, and He gives them over to unnatural things. Men working that with men, they ought not. You see a lot of foolishness in the world today, and they try to foster that off on the rest of us. You're living at a very prime time. But you don't have to look too far from where the almonds fall. That means you're home to see these things have already come to pass. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. In other words, those that would think preaching was foolishness, simply believe. A guy that has $1 million in his pocket says, well, believe what? My interest is coming in regularly, especially if it's ill-gotten gains, not if it's the blessings of God, all right? But people can put their faith in many things. But all things are foolishness if God isn't your anchor, if He's not where you're wired in at. He is your Father, and He gives some sound advice. You can't buy it from a psychiatrist. Quite frankly, a Christian counselor has a great advantage over a state-trained psychologist, because we are well-trained in psychology, but the part Christian means we have the law book that the lawyers use, which all lawyers today, when they are practicing law absolute, their law came from here. They're not that far away from it as they think. It's just that in law of our psychiatry, by precedent. When you start using precedents, you start using traditions of men. This man said that, and according to him, we can do this. Well, it's according to what this says. Do you understand what I mean? Interesting. But we have a great advantage because we have the law and the psychology that is absolute, no yea, no nay, no in between, but right on God's way. That is true wisdom. Verse 22, for the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Let me see it. I can't believe in that I can't see. And as it is written further in Corinthians, we walk by faith, not by sight. We don't have to see it to know it. When God touches your heart, you know He's real. But we preach Christ crucified, and to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. How can a dead man save you? He died on the cross. Romans crucified him. There's another side to that. He rose from the dead. All that died was the transfiguring of the flesh. But a fool could only see what he could see. 24. But unto them which are called, that means have had flavor or savor instilled into their ears, or have ears to hear. You have the same parable, the same application of God's wisdom. When you're called, your ears are opened and you can see true wisdom, and you do not count it as foolishness. Both Greek and Jews and Greeks, rather, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Their eyes are open. Doesn't matter if they're a Gentile, which that word Greek can be translated Gentile. Or doesn't matter who you are. When Christ opens your eyes, you can see. You can see the absolute plan of God as it unfolds before us daily. All things that are prophesied, all things that are written are coming to pass today, and many people are in that stupor, which moreno means also. They just kind of go from day to day. Well, I wonder what's happening now. You got it right here, friend. Why not read it, all right? Because the foolishness, the moreno of God, is wiser than men. At His very worst, He's better than we are. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. In His very weakest moment, He still is supernatural and far stronger than we are. He doesn't have any weak moments. I want to make that clear. 26. For you see your calling, or by your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. God doesn't necessarily call those that are mighty in the ways of the world. Why? They're probably on an ego trip out on cloud nine, and they could, if God wanted to work through them, they would take the credit for it and not give it to God. You can't work with people like that are on a trip. Self. I. Look what I have. Well, you'd better look around behind you, because God is the one that gave it to you, unless you got it by ill-gotten gains. And you'd better start giving Him the credit, because he has a way of shucking your old wallet down to where did it go? He does it. He watches you. He knows. He loves to bless you when you can handle it. All right? He calls the humble. He calls those that will listen to Him and respect Him and love Him. It's no big deal. If you have children, or if you're too young to have children, then you have a mother and a father. Don't they kind of look out after you? Don't they kind of watch out after you? Your children, don't you even correct them because you love them and then bless them and reward them when they do well? Well, your Heavenly Father is no different. He wants to bless you when you can handle it, when you mature. Age has nothing to do with this. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. In other words, God can't too much use the wise of this world until there's a transformation of mind. Think about it. And base things, that's to say little small things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen. That is to say, those things that the world counts as nothing. When you would walk up to someone and they would say, are you a Christian? Well, if somebody of the world, that wouldn't mean anything to them. That would make no impression. Yea, things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. In other words, He uses humble people that can mature and give Him credit and praise for what He does to bring forth His word, His message, and stand between Christ and the world. to see that that message goes forth, His tender love. He's not a God with a pitchfork throwing people in hell, but He's a Father, a loving Father, that wants to bless and educate His children. That no flesh should glory in His presence. Boy, we can't, my friend, because there's not a one of us, if we started writing our sins down, don't, and put them out there. We could put a pile of them out here in the floor, though we're trying, that were pretty rough, okay? But of whom are ye in Christ Jesus? Who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption? It's not foolishness to us, beloved. That's why you're here. Because you know it's not foolish that He died on the cross so that you could be forgiven of those sins we might have written down. Blotted them out and said, they don't exist. I don't want to hear about it anymore. It's not foolishness, my friend. It's the only true wisdom in the world for imperfect man. 31, that according as it is written, again, written where? The Old Testament. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Jeremiah 9:23. We just covered that on television very recently. Give God the glory when He blesses you. He's your Father. He cares. He wants to help you, but you've got to claim it. You've got to ask for it and earn it. Chapter, let's go right on with this. Doing good. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. I didn't come to you with a lot of big swelling words, claiming to be some great orator, educated and with all wisdom of the world to lead you to glory. He said, I didn't claim to be that way. I'm just a plain old boy. I'm one of those humble ones God chose to bring the truth. And this same Paul would write most of the New Testament. For I determined not to know anything among you. I didn't claim to be wise within myself, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. In other words, in that I am an expert, is what Paul is saying. It was just like at this trial yesterday when this lady judge, who is biblically illiterate, went into theology against a theologian and a linguist. She didn't know what she was walking into, all right? And she got a real lesson, all right, from a theologian. She was far outmatched. But then, in all these verses we've read, do you notice something wrong with what I just said? There definitely is, if we were to let it stand at that. From whence the theologian did it? Oh, yes. No. God gives the theologian the word. It is the wisdom of God that did it. If you want to be blessed, my friend, you've got to remember that. Oh, yes, I did a big deal there. You know, you had a lot of help, son, if you did, okay? And you'd better pay attention and give credit to Him. That's what advertises His name in this world today. And anybody that will utilize their platform to do that will be blessed. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. As a man I was, is what Paul's saying. As a flesh man, I was weak. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. In other words, God demonstrating through me His wisdom. That was the example we just set concerning that court. Paul is saying, it wasn't Paul that did it. It was God in His power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. What is men's wisdom? It's foolishness. We just read it. Moreno. Let me correct myself. That's what it is. Do you want to be wise in foolishness? What kind of word, what kind of talk is that? The wisest of ignorance is ignorance. Verse 6, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, that's to say this world age, nor of the princes of this world. Who are the princes of this world? The Kenites. Satan's little children. And yes, even they can be converted. That come to naught. All their wisdom comes to what? Naught. And it, my friend, if you practice only in this world, you're up against some experts. But if you practice in this world, you're supposed to be wiser than the serpent. I'm telling you how to be blessed now. Listen to me carefully. If you have business in this world, you have a great advantage. Because you, as a child of God, have more wisdom than Satan does, so you should know what his little princes are up to. And therefore, you should win every time. You've got a loaded, God forgive me, you've got a loaded deck against them, a rigged deck in this life. If you'll use the wisdom that God has put before you. No step for a stepper to be successful in this world when you have all this wisdom that you can just tuck away here. You already know which way the world's going to go. Get there before them. You can't lose. That's what I'm saying. Okay. Verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. In other words, God had the plan for us to win long ago. But there's one thing you got to do, friend. You got to reach out for the golden ring. You got to reach out for wisdom and use it. Doesn't do any good to have it if you don't use it. If you're not a can-do type person, sorry, Charlie, you're not good enough for the flow. Verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Well, why wouldn't they? Because they cut their own, I'll say it, they cut their own throat. They might as well have put a knife in their own heart, because he was the Savior, the one that gave us instant defeat of death, which is to say Satan. The dumbest thing in the world they could have ever done. And this is silly talk, because that was God's plan from the beginning. Verse 9. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Have you had yours lately, friend? He's got it there. It's ready for you. And look how he blesses this ministry. How many little old churches in Northwest Arkansas could now be going into over 100 million homes with millions of dollars of television time every year? We didn't do it. He did it. Why? Because we walk by faith and not by sight, and by his wisdom, not ours. Listen to me. Verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. What Spirit? The Holy Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. In other words, God knows. And He enlightens you when you're ready for it. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. That's a little tangled in the translation, but what it says, you can't read the mind of that person that's sitting beside you. Man can't read man's mind, but God can. God knows what you're thinking. Verse 12. Now, we have, in other words, what that is saying is, who are you going to listen to? Some guy that's going to lead you in the wisdom of the world that can't even read the mind of a person. In other words, God is supernatural. He knows what the enemy's thinking, and he's going to tell you. Or that you have the jump on him, all right? Now we have received not the spirit of the world. What is the spirit of this world? Prince of the air. Satan's spirit. Evil spirits. Wicked spirits. But the Spirit which is of God. It's the Holy Spirit. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Don't read over that, my friend. Oh, God never blesses me. Freely given. It makes our Father's day to be able to bless you, to give you something. That pleases Him. Doesn't it, any parent, to be able to give a child something they just really want real bad and have earned? He's supernatural, meaning more natural than you. It just makes His day. But you've got to, beloved, you've got to do it His way. Let Him know you love Him and work for it. And He'll just pour it on to you, all right? In His wisdom, use His wisdom and use His way. 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Spirit, or Ghost if you prefer, Spirit in the manuscripts teacheth. Comparing, or I prefer interpreting spiritual things with spiritual, the subject is facts there. So you can add the word facts, it just isn't carried over in the English. Okay? Meaning, interpret spiritual things with spiritual facts. I didn't know there were any spiritual facts. You follow His Word and it won't be long till you'll have some spiritual facts. If you had walked with me this past week when I shook hands with the accuser, it rarely ever happens, but when the Holy Spirit buzzed him, I'll call it that, he went pale. I better stop there. But the Spirit hit him, and you know what? He walked up to me after the trial and said, "You did an excellent job in your testimony," and it was against him. But the Spirit can work miracles, my friend. Our Heavenly Father loves to do things for us when it serves His purpose, especially when you're doing His work. What a wonderful time to live today and be a part of His Christian army. Whew. It's getting there. We're getting there. Get your armor on. Keep it there. 14. I'm talking about spiritual armor, of course, for new time visitors. Okay, 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Just the plain old flesh body probably has other things on its mind. I'm hungry. I'm hot. I'm uncomfortable. Your old flesh will say, wiggle this way a little bit for a minute and give me a little bit of rest. And then pretty soon, wiggle the other way. It's just trying to interfere with your spiritual thought all the time. So don't listen to it. For they are foolishness unto him. Moreno to him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. His eyes are closed shut. His eyes are not open. There's no way he can see. But he that is spiritually judged, he that is spiritual judgeth all things. You question it. You use spiritual discernment. Do you have it? Do you have spiritual discernment? Yet he himself is judged of no man. In other words, to investigate, you would find him above question, all right? For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. When he is in you and you are in him, the Holy Spirit, when you're in a tough spot, I don't care if it's testifying, if it's being a witness, the Holy Spirit will guide your mind when you give him the credit for it, because it's he that's doing it. And you will have the victory. Come out of the foolishness of this world by thinking as those of the world think, and giving credit to our Heavenly Father who created this world. Now, all that being said for one purpose, that I can make two little points and we're through. Two or three little points. All right? That is, why did Jesus say salt is good? Well, let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. Okay? Let's let him say it, and then we'll go from there. Matthew, I could teach this from many books in the New Testament, but let's take that one. Matthew chapter 5. What verse do we want? 13. Verse 13 of Matthew, first gospel, New Testament, chapter 5, verse 13. And Christ says, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor," that's to say, insipid, his flavor. That's why cooks use it. Yuck. That hasn't got any salt in it. It's tasteless. Okay? "Wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot." Excuse me. Now, there is a great deal in that. I want you to remember that in Mark chapter 13, about verse 31, Christ would say, "This world will change, but my word will never change." Now, we're going into an eternity, but my word is not going to change. Now, why would Christ use salt? Well, I just sprinkle it on something a little bit here and a little bit there, and you're told today, go easy on the salt. Do you know that these clay bodies cannot live without salt? We were doing a documentary down in the South, and during the Civil War, I looked in this meat house where they had hung meat to cure, and the Yanks had dug the whole bottom out of it, getting the salt that had fallen down into the dirt. You know, they had dirt floors and smokehouses back in that day many times. They don't burn down as easy if they have a dirt floor. Okay. Man must have salt. So we're going to take that word salt, and that's why I titled this "The Salt and the Fool," because the words are practically the same as far as savor is concerned. But why did Christ use it? Salt can never change its chemical content. I'll say it again. I want to protect myself just a little bit. Pure, 100% pure salt can never change its chemical content. You might have some naturally impure salt that has some sediment, and sediment is a little old dirty thing that runs around and absorbs whatever it's next to. You know, oh yeah, if you took the sediment and impure salt and set it over here for 10,000 years on a sulfur pile, what's it going to be then? The salt's going to leave it, and it's going to absorb the sulfur, and it's going to act like sulfur do instead of salt, because it's not salt. Do you understand what Christ was telling you? You that I have opened your ears, you're never going to change. When he said, you are the salt of the earth. You're not. Once you hear the truth, you can't. You're not going to be like a hog going back to the sloppy wallow. That's a very powerful statement by him. Now, it also has another thing that needs to be added. At the time of this writing, the bakers cut salt blocks and laid them in the floor of the oven for the firing. Okay? Helped a bunch. The salt didn't change its chemical content. But when you add the fire through crystallization, it becomes a different chemical. You got that? Do you understand what Christ is saying to you? What did he say about the salt? If it loses its moreno, it becomes its savor. If it loses its flavor, its ability to not be lifeless, but to be vivacious, a can-do type person. If it loses that, then what's it good for? Salt that is burned out in the bottom of an oven after years of time is crystallized and is no longer salt, is not fit to use for salt. It can never be healed. It can never be brought back to salt again. What's it good for? Nothing. They throw it on the dung pile or throw it on the street. It is not salt any longer. What was Christ saying then? He was giving us some very good information in one word. get the sediment. By sediment, I mean dregs, you know what I mean, roots, other fibers that might fall in a natural salt that's being mined, dirt, silica. We could go chemically, but let's don't. It isn't necessary, you understand. You got to kind of get that stuff out of your life. Will we ever completely? No. But is it that big a deal? Well, it's important, but it's not us because it's not salt, it's sediment. All right? So don't get on some guilt trip because you've got a few dregs in your closet. Skeletons in your closet. Hey, whatever. Okay? Don't let it possess you because you are the salt of the earth. And salt cannot be changed by Satan. Salt cannot lose its chemical qualities. Neither can you once you hear the truth. That's what Christ was saying. Who was He speaking to? His disciples and those that would follow them. So, don't be insipid, whatever you do. I tell you what, I don't know if you've ever known a person like that, an insipid person. It's just, there's no flavor to them. They don't make a difference anywhere they go. They just walk in the room. There's nobody over there. There might be a dozen people. Nobody even looks at them. And they walk in, and they can do their thing and walk out. And nobody ever knew they were there. Did you ever know anybody like that? I hope not too many. There's no spirit there. That's what the point is. I hope that you make a difference when you go in a room, that you make people feel good because you know where you're going, what you're going to do, and where you're going after that. And people love that. Because an insipid person can only drag down. It's like those dregs that must leach chemical nurture from some subject, object, or chemical, or substance that it's around. It has basically none of its own. It's just trash. But you are salt. All salt gets dirty a little every once in a while. Clean it up. You'll never change, and God can count on you because when you walk into a room, I want it to be a little saltier than it was before you went in there. What am I saying? I'm saying you're a Christian. You don't have to go around preaching everywhere. Just being a good person makes people feel good, a smile. To let them know, hey, this world is not all bad. This world is not going to hell in a basket. Christ is coming and we're going to make it A-okay. No problem. We are can-do type people. We'll make your soup so salty you've got to like it one way or the other. Okay? You are the salt. Once you come to the truth, I don't care where you go. You may drift off here, but your pastor knows you're not going to change. Why? Christ taught me that. You're not going to change. You can't go back. You must always come back to Him, and you must always go forward. Who cleanses you? Christ did. He made that. He paid that price on the cross. That's why Satan made the biggest mistake in his life. When he brought about the crucifixion of Christ. Marino, or in English, our word from that, a moron. Don't anyone that lives only in the ways of the world is a moron. Come out of it into the Father's light and let Him take care of you and bless you. And He said, do you know what He said? Hey, if you do my thing that I give you to do, I'll add all those things onto you, meaning even the riches of the world. Hey, anybody that's rich by God's blessings doesn't have to apologize for it. He wanted you to have it, and it made Him feel good to give it to you. You're salt, friends. You'll never change if He has really opened your eyes. Make a difference. Don't lose your savor. Don't be tasteless. Be one of God's children and let Him love you. Father, we come to You at this time and we thank You, Father, for all the many gifts in Thy Word that Thou has made available, the wisdom, Father, the understanding. Thank You, Father, for having shared that with us, that we may utilize Thy wisdom because of Christ being in us to make people feel better and enjoy the Christian life, Your life, even here today. We ask it in Yeshua Jesus' precious name. Amen.